Would you like to start the episode?
Or? Actually, I started the last one, so why don't you start this one?
So, here we are. It's Memorial Day.
Memorial Day weekend!
And this is Monday, May 29th.
Feels like a Sunday.
2020. Yeah, it really does. I guess because, like, you know, we start the week tomorrow, the work week, even though it's a shortened week. But at the same time, you know, I feel like we should also take a moment to pay tribute to those.
Yes, but I have to cook something.
Okay, yeah, you cook.
Yeah. But we have a lot to talk about.
We do. Oh, God. It's interesting because this is, let's see, in a span of 48 hours.
Right.
This will be the fifth episode that we've done.
Yes. And they're all radically different from each other.
Yes.
So yesterday, let me see if I can remember. So we start... Yesterday was the first one we did?
The serious one was the first one, yeah.
Okay, so we tried to do a one on my other podcast, and then we also aired it on this podcast, but it's really, it was, the tone of it was more my podcast.
Right.
Which is more like trying to do serious conversations with people, and I think we succeeded.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, let me check how many listeners we have for that one.
Oh, man.
Maybe we're, like, famous.
It's possible.
Because on this podcast, we're not getting shit.
I mean, I don't see any paparazzi outside your door, but
yeah.
The day's young. People are busy. You know.
Well, it's also the weekend. So
people have barbecues. You know?
I feel like people listen to podcasts on the weekdays more than weekends.
Oh yeah,
because they're with their families on the weekends.
Right, having sex on the weekends.
Having sex on the weekends. All right, let's see here. 5 plays on my...
Damn, man. That's pretty freaking good.
That's not bad. The one I did with my friend Melissa got like 31 plays. So,
yeah.
All right. So, I don't know who, but...
Hey, maybe, that's good.
Yeah. So, between... And then on your platform, you got 1 play.
We got 1.
So, I mean, as is, we got 1 play. Thoughts, maybe feelings? We got 5 plays. So,
yeah.
Who knows?
We might get some interested parties from your show into our show.
Actually, my tragedy would be that all the fans that I've accumulated will now desert me when they hear our episode
on
my platform.
At the same time, you're one of the good things about your show is you could interview
like a well-known
artist next week, and you get that audience back.
So
it may be like a different audience.
It's always a different audience. I just recently, this is interesting, I think.
Okay.
I started with sort of quasi celebrities that I know, and then I segued into more friends like Melissa, you, Jax, my 4.5-year-old niece. So it's really becoming like it went from professional to not so professional. So, but next week I'm going back to professional because I'm interviewing a singer from a band called Disappear Fear.
Okay.
And she's. Yeah, I don't know her personally, so it's going to be interesting. But she said yes, and she's someone that I am a fan of. So it's going to go back. It's going to be you're going to be the episode before her.
Oh shit!
So it's going to be this. Mine is like becoming very bipolar.
Yeah.
Thoughts, maybe feelings is out of control. You know, ours is just very consistent.
Right.
Except that the last 2 episodes we did with a certain guest.
Oh my God.
No, wait a minute. At first, I'd like to say positive things.
Right, and I like to start off with that sort of like that low punch, you know.
Yes. I would like to say here's the positive.
Right.
It was fun.
It was a good time.
It was fun. We just actually heard a few minutes of it because we just wanted to see what it was like, and it was good. It was very entertaining.
Oh, absolutely.
So and thank you, Kevin, for
being
a guest, and we will see if this one actually gets an audience like the first episode did.
Right,
and we did put threesome in the title, right?
Yeah, this is Threesome Redux Part 1 and Part 2.
Wow!
So this is like the Infinity War and Endgame of the As Is podcast.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So we've done actually 3 episodes of threesome.
Right. We have 2 trilogies now. We have the Weird Attracts Weird Trilogy, and we have the Threesome Trilogy.
Wow.
I love trilogies, man.
Really?
Absolutely.
Maybe we should make we need like a theme, right?
Yeah, we need something to build towards.
Yeah, that. So we had Weird as a theme, and then we had Gaber as a theme.
Right.
Right. So, And then before that, we did that serious episode on my, you know, the thoughts, maybe feelings one. So last night was completely out of control in terms of the ambiance and, like, going up to his apartment. Going up to his apartment, first of all, is already an ordeal because it's a change of venue. Because we always do this podcast in my little, you know, what would you call this?
This is an apartment. It's a one-bedroom apartment.
Really? I thought I lived in a tree.
Is your food...
Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, yes! Don't cause a fire. We didn't start the fire. Da-da-da. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're right, you're right. I think we're ready. I'm making a little... See, at the beginning of this whole trajectory, we would have sort of a dinner together, and then we would, and then I realized I'm broke. I'm a poor peasant, and I can't afford to buy food outside all the time.
At the same time, you know, you also, you know, you may be poor, but you also spend your money on a lot of, like, great experiences. So
right. But I realized that we don't have to always have dinner, like, you know.
Right, I mean, we don't have time. To. I mean, we're not a couple. We don't have to eat dinner together.
We're not a couple. Plus, we're not a couple.
Plus, you're also wanting to eat healthier now.
I'm trying. Know. My cholesterol's out of control.
Right.
I have a very few summers left. I have to say that in every episode. Maybe if I say that a lot, then my life.
That's got to be the catchphrase. We got to get a shirt that says, actually, I think I was going to bring this up the other day, but I forgot. I had an idea for a shirt. Yeah. The front of it says, "I am as is."
Oh.
And the back could be...
Very few summers
left. And a quote, "I have very, very few summers left."
Yeah. That's good. I would wear that t-shirt.
Yeah.
I have to admit that phrase, I didn't really come up with it myself.
Oh, no?
I am kind of paraphrasing a Springsteen and John Mellencamp song.
They wrote it together?
Yeah, John Mellencamp used to be, like, fun and cool and rocking. Now he's got these very depressing records.
Oh, really?
And on his latest record, he has Bruce, because they're friends, which is interesting, because back in the day, in the 80s, there were rivals.
Oh, really?
Sort of. They were sort of competitive.
They were the Schwarzenegger Stallone of the rock world?
Yeah!
Yeah, Heartland rock world.
Yeah, like, yeah. I was born in a small town, and Bruce had Born in the USA. It was kind of Americana, too American. But they became friends, but, man, so they have a song on the latest John Mellencamp record, very depressing song. It's about, like, how they have very few summers left, you know? So I kind of, and I heard him talk on Howard Stern, John Mellencamp. I think, you know, John Mellencamp seems like a very grumpy guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually dated Meg Ryan for a little while. But not the hot Meg Ryan, like the way she looks now.
Damn.
And I think even she said she's too grumpy for me.
Oh, wow.
So what John Mellencamp does is he goes to a studio, he makes a lot of art. He's like a painter, smokes a lot of cigarettes and doesn't talk to anybody. Like, he's a very grumpy man. And his voice now is terrible because of all the cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and his albums are shitty because it's all
the cigarettes.
And the depressing songs.
Yeah.
Like, he's not really making rock music. Oh, so he's got, like, one song on the record with Bruce going, we have very few summers left. You know, very few summers left. It's kind of like, no, it's called Wasted Years, Wasted Time. And, you know, so it's a very depressing song. And so that's how it got in my brain. So, I mean, but I'm allowed to plagiarize whatever.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, sure.
And I'll put it on a goddamn t-shirt. Yeah. You know? Nobody cares. So anyway, that was quite a segue, wasn't it? And we went from Gabriel to John Mellencamp.
Oh, yeah. Naturally.
Yeah. So back to Gabriel.
Right.
I didn't know what to expect last night, you know, because the original episode was a long time ago. It was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, that garnered, if that's a word, garnered a lot of...
The most listens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, which is a little hurtful to me and you, because, like, what, we can't do it on our own, you know?
What the fuck is that?
So what is it about him? You know, it was probably a fluke.
It probably was. Like, I'll bet when all becomes said and done, these episodes probably won't reach...
Yeah, it won't have that gravitas.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, and it's tricky, you know, because the thing, I have the gift of gab. You can have the gift of gab. And he certainly has a gift of gab.
Right.
So when we all get together, it's like gab, 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 gab. The problem with him is with us was as we started talking right away. If you noticed, as soon as first of all, like we went up there and he was like in a good mood.
Yeah, and what the fuck was that?
What the fuck is that? Like I like him in a gay grumpy mood.
Yeah,
I don't want him in a gay happy mood.
Right.
And so he's like, yeah, I'm well rested and I'm like really happy today. I'm like, oh no. But it's okay. That soon turned anyway. Yeah. And like when he made popcorn at the end and then he said he's out of butter and he sent me downstairs to get the butter.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
That was weird.
That was, right?
Yeah.
He was really upset about the butter thing.
Yeah.
He's like,
I was good without the butter.
I was good without the butter too.
Yeah.
But he's like, so anyway, but I enjoyed the break, actually.
Yeah.
But I was afraid to leave you alone with him.
Oh, we were fine. I don't even remember what we talked about.
All right.
It was like so short a time.
Yeah, I was fast. I didn't even pee when I got here.
Yeah.
I took a shit, though. Sorry, guys. Sorry. We'll edit that out. Okay. So, I took some notes about the idea was to talk about pivotal movies.
Right.
Because you know a lot about movies, even though you see a lot of shitty movies.
That's your opinion, but okay.
Oh, come on.
Well, actually, no, a lot of people share your opinion.
Well, what would you call those Fast and Furious movies?
I'd call them blockbusters.
Yeah, but does blockbusters...
Crowd pleasers.
Crowd pleasers, sure, right. Okay. Yeah, but I also
recognize, I think, that the
artistic merit.
There may not be a lot of artistic merit, but you know, you have to be careful about that because it's if everything were free in the world, we could do whatever we want. But you know what? Movies aren't free to make.
Right.
So it's like, all right, the people that, you know, have the ability to invest, put money into a movie, chances are they want to see that money back at least.
Of course. So. But it doesn't mean that I should see every movie that's made.
Right.
No, but I mean,
we won't even get
No, that. We could. I'm just saying, like, you know, I usually stay away from a lot of franchise movies, you know. But but you know, I have integrity. So anyway, the idea was cuz originally
right.
We had a little bit of a problem with Gamer because he said some things that he thought were might be misconstrued in this culture of cancellation and wokeness, and he thought he offended like so. If you remember, all the way to a year ago, I had to go and the next day record an apology that he worked on all day long, and it was a big deal. And you know, and so the idea of this.
What was the best part about that too?
What was the best part?
The best part about it is you went through all that, and he never even listened to it. I don't think he's even listened to a single episode of the show.
But he rested more comfortably at night because he knew that.
I didn't care about that.
But I don't want him to feel uncomfortable. I really don't. But it was. I mean, the things that he thought were offensive were not offensive.
Right.
But, you know, everybody has... He's a guest, and I'm going to respect his wishes. But it was an ordeal.
Oh, yeah.
And we actually got material out of it because I went and I recorded it, then we inserted... That was the first time that we inserted... God, that sounded gay. not that there's anything wrong with that, but... We inserted we edited. We started playing with the editing.
Right.
Okay. All right. So that was a year ago.
Right.
So then the idea of this one was, okay, we're going to have no problems. We're going to have no issues with, like, any apologies. So we figured movies was a safe thing to talk about. Okay? Okay. So then the next day, once we established we're going to talk about movies, I get a text from him. And he says, but we could talk about other things too, right? Not just movies. And I'm like... Sure, but the idea was that we're just going to talk about movies so we don't get into trouble. So already I knew that we were getting into quicksand, you know? Okay, so then we go up there, and I think we started with movies, and we segued into other things, but the other things were better than the movie talk.
Yeah.
So, and
bear in mind, the whole evening resulted in a two-part episode, so
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Right. I'd say those who are listening to this, you haven't heard them yet, go back and listen to them because they're pretty great.
Well, I mean, I actually, you know, it's funny because when you're doing it, you're not sure if it's good or not, you know. But then when we just listened to it, I was having a good time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a really good time. So, you know, I think the first episode was... I think the second episode is better than the first episode.
we're skipping around. We're skipping around, and when we were just before, we're skipping around, all of a sudden, like, you know, we're fast-forwarding through it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I push, like, play, and all of a sudden, we just hear you say, yeah, my summer plans is me just jerking off all summer, something like that, and it was great.
Well, it was interesting, because I was actually trying not to be funny, you know, because I don't want to, like, you know, when it's just the two of us, I feel, oh my god, this looks like shit, doesn't it?
I don't think that's food, dude.
What do you think it is? No, it's edible.
I'm sure it's edible.
It's edible. I just want to. I'm trying to eat healthier, but this looks like crap. I know. Look, this. But it's all right. I got this. I'm just gonna swallow it.
Yeah.
When you're having a threesome, like a conversational threesome,
right?
It's not easy because you're trying to respect. You want nobody to feel left out. Right?
Right.
So that's why I was actually trying not to be funny. So, like, when I said the jerking off line, I wasn't, you know, it came up organically, you know, because he said, I think he said out of the blue, I think he was trying to segue from a topic that he might have been uncomfortable with. So he goes, oh, so what's, everybody have any summer plans? Mm-hmm. So then I was like, I plan to jerk off as much as possible.
Right.
But it wasn't, you know, I think... Like, what do you think? Do you think did I curb my sense of humor last night?
I think you were more your typical you in this two-parter than you were, like, in the first threesome.
Oh, in the first threesome, I was more guarded.
Yeah.
Yeah, because did you feel more comfortable in this one than
I felt more comfortable in this one, yeah.
Because this was your second time in the Gaber's apartment.
Right.
By the way, it's not like we're going to... Kentucky, like we're going to the third floor, you know. it's like we're climbing three flights of stairs, but it feels like you're going to another planet.
Yeah,
you know, because he's got the furniture that is very, it's very, I once told them that it's like walking into a gay hug, you know. It's a very, like, everything's red and very colorful. Like, my apartment is, like, black and white.
Right.
You know, it's very...
You can definitely tell a street dude lives here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I like to, you know, interact with the gay folk. What the hell is that?
I don't know what the hell that was.
I don't know. I heard the greatest racist joke today. You want to hear?
Oh yeah.
All right. So I've been listening to. I don't want to rip him off. So this guy's name is Hirschberg. Is a Jewish comic from Kentucky. So he said that hate is stronger than love. Okay. So he's like, how do I know that? How do you know that hate is stronger than love? Because when someone has dementia, they forget everybody that they love, but they still remember racist comments.
That's good.
That's good, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's very true. So I think hate is stronger than love. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I had to say that.
Right.
This guy Hirschberg is good.
Yeah, he's really fucking good, man.
This guy's name is Ronan Hirschberg. And we just discovered him on YouTube. And he's really, like, he's like a Jew, very, like... Very Jew humor, but it's universally funny, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a Jewish Artie Lang. Like, one of his jokes is like, you know, my name starts Jewish and just keeps going, you know? It's like Ronan Hirschberg. So the first hour last night, I guess I was I felt kind of loose, but I also wanted to give him the room to...
Right.
What was funny about last night, too, is we ended up coming back here and watching an episode of Coupling, which is a very funny British show from 2000...
Early 2000s, yeah.
And the whole episode was about threesomes. It was like, you couldn't write this shit, you know?
British Mark's probably like, oh yeah, I saw that episode. Yeah.
Coupling.
Yeah.
Oh, British Mark, you came up at the, with a Gaber episode. I don't know how. I don't know how he came up.
British Mark always finds a way.
I know.
Not through no fault of his own. He always finds a way to be the subject.
I know.
Of at least a good like 20-minute segment.
I know. Of an episode. I know. He gets a lot of mileage out of just washing dishes.
Yeah, he really does.
Like, I don't know how he does it. Like, it's amazing. He just sits there, you know. So, you know, I think we got into movies pretty fast, I think. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. To me, it's like when we do two episodes, the second one seems looser. I mean, you know, like it's hard to judge, you know. But it's we got into movies, and I actually, to be honest, I don't think the conversation about movies was the best.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about, you know, I knew we were going to talk.
It definitely didn't break any like new ground or anything.
No, it was like three people talking about movies.
Yeah, which enough people do and have podcasts about.
So. Right, which is why when we segued into other material, it got better.
Yeah.
You know, so in the second episode, we segued into other material. Yeah. A lot of funny stories from Gaber's life. And that's when we got into a little bit of trouble, you know, because I didn't want him to feel uncomfortable and you know, I didn't want him to have to retract anything. But, you know, this morning, I woke up, we had to talk about things that came up last night, and I didn't think this was going to happen because originally we were just supposed to talk about movies, right? So anyway, I mean, we're not going into specifics, but the point is that there was an issue that he wanted something to not be talked about, and then, but the content was good, so we just spent about 45 minutes, you know, figuring out what to keep in, what to keep out.
Right.
And, you know, this is something that never happens when we talk alone.
Yeah.
So, so it's work to have a guest. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, once in a while, you know, I don't know if we're going to have another one anytime soon.
Right.
You know, I mean, we could have other guests.
It's true.
I mean, you know what? I mean, let's count the amount of times we have had guests. Him...
We had him three times. Well, on three episodes.
Right.
We had Cousin Bill.
Cousin Bill, that kind of went nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, I it was him. You know what the problem with that one was? It was, we gave him, I mean, he was good.
Right.
He told a story, but it wasn't really a conversation. Uh-huh. It was him telling a story that was... You know, it was a little lengthy. Uh-huh. So I didn't feel like... The thing that's good with Gaber is that there was an interaction.
Right.
So,
And we had your, we had that one potential date
call-in. Right. I forgot her name, but it was... Then that was interesting because it was an actual...
Yeah.
You know, a real anxious moment.
Yeah.
That, I think we called that emergency broadcast. So she was three.
We had British Mark...
British Mark. In. Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
We had Lifeless Dave call in.
That was an accident. No, but planned. We're talking about planned guests. Yeah. Okay. And then Aunt Ginny called in once.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we've had very few guests. Yeah. We're not used to the whole guest format. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it does bring a different energy into the room, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Can you stop yawning on our podcast?
I'm sorry. I just...
You're just thinking about last night. You're so exhausted from last night because it was a long night.
It's also kind of warm in here.
Mm. I'll put the air on.
Oh, thanks, man.
All right. Why don't you tell me that before?
I guess I didn't really think about it.
Oh, 76 degrees, it says. All right, I'll put it on cool.
Oh.
Okay.
How's your food there, by the way?
I'm still alive.
Yeah.
So anyway, just to summarize this whole situation, would you say it was a positive experience, a negative experience?
Definitely positive.
All right.
Definitely positive.
Okay. All right. Hey, you want a beer?
Yeah, I want a beer. You want a beer?
Sure. I mean, I think it was a positive experience.
Definitely positive experience.
I still think threesome, there's an art to it, you know? I think maybe we should have done one episode. I think we should have probably stopped it in an hour.
Yeah.
You know, although the best content was in the second hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, like when we do an episode, like I've heard some podcasts that just last for like half an hour.
Right.
So I don't know. Anyway, good. So it was a positive experience?
Positive experience.
Okay, all right. So, and we probably won't do it for a while.
For another 5 years.
Unless, another 5 years. Unless we get, like, a huge amount of audience.
Right.
So, and we're so arty. Like, we called it part one,
yeah.
Part two.
And his idea was to call it Redux.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he had to look it up what it meant.
Well, just to make sure. Yeah. I mean, truthfully, I feel a little bad for him, a little bit.
Why?
Because he's alone, and he, you know, he's got a family. I just feel like he's reclusive, and I don't know. I don't know if he's lonely or not. I just kind of feel like, I feel like he's anxious, uh-huh. You know? And I kind of feel like he shoots himself in the foot a lot, you know?
So yeah, I think self-sabotage is the most common, easiest type of sabotage because a lot of times we don't even know we're doing it, you know?
But he's been around for a while. Like, I think he just gets into it. I once asked him seriously. I said, Gabe,
yeah.
I said, like when we went to your play, you know, like the whole conversation, he was complaining about stuff, and mm-hmm. you know, and he—that's part of his shtick—is he kind of complains about stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he can be fun, like you saw last night. He had fun moments, you know. He's got a good sense of humor, but usually when I hang out with him, we have to get rid of the complaint part
yeah.
in order to get to the fun part.
Yeah,
and like you, like most of my other friends, like you, other people, like you don't start with a whole litany of complaints, you know.
Yeah. Well, my whole take on that
is,
you know, okay, so my whole take on that is, like, complaining is the easiest thing to do in the world.
Right.
And
right.
But, you know, and I think it's one of those things where it's, like, if you do it enough, depending on, like, your experiences in life, like, if you're one of those people who, you know, from, like, a young age was told to me, like, shut up. During those moments,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of got the message through your head that, you know, no one wants to hear that.
Right.
Maybe, you know, you tend to grow up, you know, kind of keep your mouth shut when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of like me.
Right.
And,
right. Holding stuff in.
Yeah.
Right. I did too when I was a kid.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's like it's...
But I don't know if that's, I don't mind complaints, but I like it when it's done with a sense of humor because mm-hmm. like it's just if you're just gonna it just drains the room if
yeah.
you're just gonna complain, and I don't know if some people can't really read the room and just
yeah.
But I feel the reason I feel bad for him is sometimes not all time but sometimes is because I can feel like he gets agitated. Mm-hmm. And it's like real. It's like real anxiety, you know.
Right.
Like so, and I don't operate that way. Like I have my own issues, but I don't get myself up into a tizzy
right.
over little things.
Like whenever that happens, do you ever say, "Dude, calm the fuck down"? It's fine.
I do, but have you ever when you say calm down to somebody, has that ever worked? Like when you say calm down to somebody, it usually makes it worse.
Well, it's worked toward me.
What? When
it's,
I say
like,
to you?
Like, in people in general, when, like...
Oh.
Like, when I was, like, younger, like, I would get all, like, fucked up. And I was like, oh, don't worry about it. You calm down.
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to do with him today on the text, you know?
Yeah.
Like, calm down. I feel... I also feel like since, you know, he's been around for a while on this planet, and, like, I just feel like he should have better ways to manage...
Yeah.
Or my brother. Like, my brother, I feel like he could be much happier, but he's not, hasn't figured out exactly how to not be so tense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, come on, if you haven't figured it out by now, when are you going to figure it out? When you're 95?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's my,
yeah.
but it is, I don't mean to, like, make fun of him. I mean, it's like, I wish that he wouldn't be that way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but it also, I mean, and the thing also that, you know, he's a fun guy when that complaint part goes away. But it's almost like an exorcism. It's like you have to get through the complaints, you know. And I think that I don't feel like I complain a lot, you know. Like I feel like if I have,
I don't think I've ever heard you like legitimately complain. Like, you may be joking about it. It's like you may be like exasperated, but I think at the same time, it's like you're so used to your wife and your experiences that's like, well.
Right.
What's another night of like speed dating, that kind of thing.
Right. I mean, the only way that because I don't get any enjoyment out of complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people, I think feel like it gets it off their chest, and so they can cleanse themselves.
Right.
But for me, if I started to talk to you about the horrible things in my life, I would just start feeling worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would make me feel better.
Right.
So, for example, tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
Remember that story about that lady, the black lady that I picked
up? Oh, yeah.
I just looked at my schedule. I have to pick her up tomorrow morning. Like, she's my first passenger tomorrow. She's
Tomorrow morning, at that case, tomorrow morning, you may end up waking up to, like, intestinal distress and have to call out of work.
Well, I hope she doesn't fall down at least this time, because last time she fell down.
Can you ever, like, talk to them and be like, listen, this was a really problematic passenger.
I know.
I will not be picking her up.
I know. Well, I didn't realize. I thought she was like a. I didn't realize that she was going to be recurring. Uh-huh. I think she's. I've never met her before. I think she's new.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to give it another shot. I'm going to see if she falls down tomorrow. And also, I'm going to actually. So she lives in a strange part of Trenton that's very scary. And it took me a long time to get out of there. So she lives in this weird development. And I have to pick her up in the back. And so I think I just followed the GPS on the way there. And it just seemed very convoluted. So I'm thinking tomorrow, if I made a different turn at the beginning, like a left or a right. There's a left or a right.
Right.
I've made a left.
Okay.
So tomorrow, if I make a right, maybe that would be a much easier route.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping.
It could also take you further away from the
Well, I actually...
did you look up, like, the...
I looked up the directions to her fucking house from here.
Yeah.
And it did seem like that's an easier route than the one that I took last time.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes the GPS of the company is not... So But I have to give this some thought, because I want to spend the least amount of time with her as possible.
Mm-hmm.
She's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, Now, my whole day now is colored by the fact that... But I'm not complaining about it. Right. I'm just saying it's... You know, since I mentioned her before, I can't believe I have to fucking pick her up again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my first ride tomorrow. Yeah.
This is the same time. Once that's done, everything else after will probably like smooth sailing.
I know. But you know how the first thing of the day usually colors the rest of the day? You know what I mean? Like usually it sets the tone for the rest of the day. Like I'd rather get rid of her as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't believe that was horrible. When she fell down and she's like, pick me up by my armpits. She's screaming, pick me up by my armpits. Like, I wanted to choke her.
Like, now when you told me that story, I got like a little paranoid.
Because
I was thinking, if that were me, I probably would want to just like hightail it out of there. Because that's like a situation where like someone would be hiding like in the bushes with like a phone.
Yeah.
Record you. Copy just a little bit of that. Post to social media and call like racial injustice, something like that. Like the woman fell down because of the white man. That kind of bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not worried about little things. Listen, people have enough things to worry about than to cancel Danny Siegel out. Okay, like that's the least of my concerns.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I do get canceled because at least then I'll get famous. I'll never give a shit about me right now. I'm like a little, British Mark is my only fan. Ain't nobody knows him. He just sits there washing dishes, you know, alone. Like, so, yeah, I'm not worried about that at all. I just don't really want to deal with, like, parts of my job are okay, you know, and then it's just a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's parts that really aggravate me,
yeah.
You know. So anyway, that's. But I'm not complaining about it because if I was somebody else, I would be complaining about it.
Right.
I'm just saying it. I'm not complaining about it. Am I complaining?
I don't think so.
Anyway, it's just this whole thing has been weird, you know. I just got a text. We just got a text from our mutual friend that we met.
Oh, yeah?
You met her.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why she's texting me.
Did she ever get back to you?
Let's check. I mean, yes. Oh. I see. Yeah. You know who's texting me? It's not Brooke Shields. It's not like...
Nah.
No, it's... I don't know. I don't know what to do. Like, now I'm... She's very nice, but...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I had a good time with
now,
her.
Did you really? Now, we had
a nice conversation.
Do you remember what you talked about?
Oh, yeah. She was asking me about, my relationship issues, why I don't,
Really?
Yeah, and then she was talking about how she was going... The next day, she was going to a baby shower.
Well, I talked with her, and it wasn't anything about those issues. I talked to her about real estate.
Well, we talked about that a little bit, too, at the end.
She says something weird. She says something weird, though. I said that my week is very busy and I can't hang out because I'm doing a play. I'm doing a play.
Oh, yeah. that's a great way to bring that up.
I know. That's a segue. So I told her that I'm doing a weird play this Thursday. And she goes, in New Jersey. But she doesn't do a question mark.
Right.
So I know now I know what she means is the play in New Jersey.
Right.
But people that don't write question marks, it's very easy to misunderstand.
Yeah.
Like, I always write a question mark when I'm texting.
Right.
Because I don't want any misconstrued.
That's good. That's very thoughtful.
Ginny does this too. Like, she
It might be from that generation.
But I think you also do punctuation. You also.
I do punctuation.
I mean, I kind of feel, you know what I feel? I feel like it's disrespectful to the other person if you don't use, what do you call those things?
Punctuations.
Punctuations. Or
question marks or periods, exclamation points, commas.
What do you call all those things?
Pretty sure it's just punctuations.
Oh, punctuations, right. Okay. I thought punctuations was an exclamation point.
Well, yeah.
But... punctuations is a global term for
I think it's a global term for just how you end a sentence, the symbol at the end of a sentence to show what the person is saying.
Okay.
Fuck you at the drive-thru.
Fuck you at the drive-thru. So I kind of feel like it's disrespectful if I'm going to send you a message and I'm not going to do a question mark at the end. I'm making you work and trying to figure out if that's a question mark or not.
So, I mean, that to me is like... I probably would rather be like, in New Jersey. Oh, yeah, she's probably asking a question to which I would be like,
yeah,
it's in New Jersey.
Yeah, I know. But what am I, chopped liver? Like, I don't get a question mark? Like, what? Like, put a question mark in there.
Right.
So that's all I'm asking.
Right.
Like, punctuation. Like, I'm worth punctuation.
I hope you never talk to her again over this issue.
Well, I will. If I mean, if it comes up organically, I'll say, look, you know, like...
Right.
Because I will continue. If I had a choice between two women to date, and one of them was, there were two texters, one on the right, one on the left.
Right.
One of them uses punctuation, and the other one doesn't use. I'm going to go with the one with the punctuation.
I'm going to throw a wrench there. The one on the left without the punctuation is 25. The one on the right with punctuation is 87.
I'll go with a 25-year-old. that's not a wrench. But I would rather have a 25-year-old that uses punctuation.
Right.
Oh, 87. Wow, that's a wow. Yeah, that's that might be more you than me. I mean,
even in that case, I would go for the 25-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, anyway, I mean, it's just, if our audience wants to text me, just, use punctuation.
Right.
But, yeah, what's happening?
Oh, I think some food came out of your mouth and fell to my phone.
I spat on the podcast. I think a piece of this weird meat. What the fuck is this? You know what this looks like? Kibbles and bits. It's like a dog food.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll sit over here. Yeah, you seem to be offended by this. I'm doing... What's happening? What's happening?
You spit on...
What? I spit on your leg? I spit on your leg? Are you sure?
Oh, yeah. Peace, right?
Oh, on the rug.
Yeah.
But not on your leg.
It fell on my leg, and it bounced off my leg and hit the rug.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, I think this thing that doesn't stay in your mouth.
It's called self-control, dude.
Well, I'm getting irate. I'm getting irate because now I'm sorry, man.
That's right, man.
It's not like I came on your shirt.
Right.
What a low standard. Sorry, man. That's okay. I am doing a weird play this week, which I don't think you should come see, really. It's a Thursday night. And it's one of those plays that doesn't make a lot of sense. It's a local playwright. And they asked me if I could do a bad friend. Don't worry, I'm not gonna spit.
I'm gonna keep everything surrounded, protected.
Now, maybe I should chew my food.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm very excited. I'm very excited. I mean, maybe we should. No, it's all right. So, anyway, what are we at? The 40 minute? Oh, my God.
41, 40 yeah. We managed to.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good here.
So I'm just saying, Mike plays on Thursday night.
Right.
And it's an odd play by a local playwright. And they asked me if I could do a bad French accent. And I said, of course I can.
Mm.
So the only funny part of this play is when I do the weird accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not in the play a lot. I'm a waiter. So mm-hmm. I go back to my station. I go to the thing. I go back to my station. And when the two main characters talk, none of it makes sense.
Right.
So I'm just saying. And also, I have a dilemma, right? Because I want to be funny and fuck up the accent, but I also want to respect the French language. So it's a big, big, big problem.
Yeah.
So I have a few words on it. Do you know any French?
I think oui and merci.
Okay. All right.
Because I bought, you know, when I was up at Mont Tremblant, you know, they had the one, you know, maple syrup stand. I bought a nice, like, glass jar of, like, maple syrup.
Okay.
And I said merci
to
the woman. She said, I guess, French, you're welcome.
Right.
Yeah.
I also know merde is shit. Yeah, that's a word for shit. Merde.
Oh, I thought you were saying shit is a French word.
No, meld.
Meld is the French word
for shit. Yeah, so I know if I went to France, I could say shit, and I could say thank you. Yeah. That's all, and I think French people are kind of snobbish. Anyway, so the problem I'm having is like, okay, can I give you an example?
Yeah. We need to get like a French audience member, like British Mark. We need to have like French Dave or something like that.
I don't think he knows any French.
We need like French, we need like a French Pierre or something like that.
Yeah. Well, my name in the play is Jean-Luc.
Oh, Jean-Luc, that works.
Okay. So, my first line...
We call it Picard. Played by Patrick Stewart in Star Trek The Next Generation. Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah. Okay, so... my first line... Let me just say the first line. This will be good practice for the play, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, I come out of nowhere, and she goes... you know, she's asking for the waiter. So, I'm the waiter. So, I come in. And I go, yes! She goes, I'm Master Gardener Meg Powers. And I say, do you have a reservation, Miss Powers? If you don't, I'm afraid that you will have a bit of a wait. Bistro Terror is booked 3.5 years in advance.
Are you playing a waiter or the reception, whatever?
The I think I'm everything.
Oh, yeah, everything.
I think I'm reception. It's a small restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a small restaurant that has a 3.5 year long wait for the...
Yeah, right. Because you know why? Because the chef... Oh, another weird thing is that the first time I say the word chef... Because I say the word chef a lot because I'm a waiter. So the first time I said chef, the director said, why don't you go like this? You know, say chef and then mwah, like that. So then I have to say the word chef a lot. So every time in the rehearsal, every time I said chef, I went, mmm, afterwards.
God.
So, and then she goes to me, You know, let's keep that. I meant for you to say to do that just once. But now, since you're doing it all the time, let's just keep that. So, as another, every time I say the word chef, I have to go, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, as a Miss Bowell's Bistro Terreur is a very exclusive establishment.
That sounds like Schwarzenegger now.
I know. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. You know, but it doesn't matter because this place is ridiculous.
Yeah.
We accommodate 2 fortunate guests per evening, and chef devotes the full power.
It sounds like you said Jeff and not chef.
Chef. Chef.
Yeah, chef. It sounded like Jeff.
How
like
would Jeffrey. You say chef?
Chef.
Chef.
I think the way you sounded, maybe like the way with the accent, it sounded like the sh was a little harder than the...
Okay, let me try it again then.
Okay.
And chef.
Oh, yeah.
And chef devotes the full power of his creative energies to ensuring that they attain a state of complete gustatory fulfillment. I mean, I'm not going to be able to sustain
this. You need to get so fucking ridiculous with you. You need to get to a point where no one understands what the hell you're saying.
Yeah. It's like Borat on acid. Do you know how Borat speaks?
I think I've heard of it.
I
never saw Borat. It looked stupid to me.
It's very funny. I wonder why you never saw it.
Never saw it.
Because it's like real scenarios, and he just fucks people up. Like he gets people to do stupid shit.
I think I was like familiar with the concept. I think like the concept itself is like me when it comes to like real life stuff. Like
yeah.
I know if like if someone were to do that to me like out in the street, I'd probably go to jail because like I wouldn't tolerate it.
But it's so funny because he shows the stupidity of America. Like you'll get a racist person to even be more racist.
Right.
And there's a scene in the first Borat where there's 2 naked guys. Anyway, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I mean, he's a pretty brilliant guy. But I'm going to do this voice, you know. I'm going to talk like this, and my spleen is in my throat, you know. So I don't even know if, because usually when I'm doing a play or something, I'm kind of looking forward to it. Like, I don't even know, like, how to feel about this one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a reading, so I don't have to memorize anything.
Yeah.
But I have to show up, and maybe if I fluctuate the words.
And I think we kind of find it, like, if you started out speaking, like, really, using, like, a really authentic, non-exaggerated French accent, and each time you come back, it becomes even more ridiculous to the point where, like...
Like, I just smoked a lot of pot.
Yeah.
Just like something where I just stuck my fingers in the electric socket and I just. I don't know. It's going to be a weird night.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, don't feel obligated to, you know, show
right.
up.
Right. I definitely don't have any plans Thursday night, but we'll have to see. Thursday, I plan to work it out in the morning, so that's going to be like my workout.
I think you...
What time is the show?
It's like 7:30.
It's like 7:30, 8 o'clock.
I think what you should do is wake up that day and just, you know, spontaneously figure out your schedule. And maybe at night, you say to yourself, I got nothing to do. I go see a stupid play.
Yeah, I'll probably do that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also a theater that you're very familiar with.
Yeah.
That's where we met.
Villagers, yes.
We met on that magical...
production of Rumors.
Yes, and we used to smoke cigarettes and look at the moon and think...
Talk about the Dexter's glory days.
I don't know why we talked about the moon a lot when we met.
I don't know.
I think there was a window and we could see the moon? No, we were outside.
I don't even remember, like, what the first thing, like, what made us talk to each other in the first place. I was definitely more social back then, so I guess...
Yeah, no, I think it was... Probably.
It was probably like you probably
we
gassed
out,
me.
I think because we were both smokers, so that already bonds you.
Yeah.
I think we went outside, we had a cigarette, we looked at each other, and we said, we probably made fun of Marty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had this actor, Marty, who did not know his lines very well.
Oh, my God,
well,
he was terrible.
And he was also not the brightest guy in the room. And, yeah, and then I had... my big scene was after he had to, like, say something to make me... He would always fuck things up. So I think we went outside, we looked at the moon, and we said, fucking Marty.
Yeah.
And we had, you know.
It was pretty night bright tonight.
Yeah, and see, but this is what makes life interesting. Like, you know, who knew back then that we would be doing all these podcasts 10 years later, you know?
Man.
Life is weird, huh?
Fucking weird, man.
Fucking weird, man.
It's like yesterday you texted me randomly that
life is insane.
Life is insane.
Yeah,
I think I was in my training. That's why I didn't like respond.
Actually, you know what? When I said that text, I think I was going to come up with something like more profound.
Right.
But I changed my mind because I wanted to keep it for later.
Yeah.
I think I was going to talk with you about the strategy for last night.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't matter what the strategy is. Things always go awry.
Yeah. And at the same time, they end up working out, so.
Well, listen, first of all, I want to thank you because
this
morning when I had an interaction with you by text, I could sense the anger coming from you that you didn't want to deal with any of this.
Oh, and it was like, I just like started my computer to finish my training.
Right.
And like, you text me and you're like, you at the movie, you seen a movie? To which I thought maybe you were going to see if we want to hang out. So I was like,
right.
Fair, I'll probably go see it during the weekend. You're like,
right. No, I was asking.
Gaber strikes again.
Right. Like, right. I was trying to see if you were busy.
Well, right.
And if you were in a mood that would be sort of a cordial giving mood, but usually I finished it with a question mark. I said, "Are you watching a movie?"
Oh yeah. That was very good. That was very grammatically correct. You know, that was good. Yeah.
But yeah,
you know what pissed me off about the whole thing? I'll be honest with you.
Okay, just be careful here.
Okay, so. It's not so much the fact that he wanted retraction or that to be edited.
Right,
it wasn't
right,
so much that.
Right,
okay, because it was the fact that we went into it saying,
right.
We're not doing this. We're not taking anything out.
I know, but it's also funny. I mean, it's maddening, but it's also funny.
Because I also, you know, I don't like... You know, I don't... In my opinion, it's like it's one of those things where it's like, this is our thing.
Right.
We say...
We have
we can go wherever with this show, but it's
right.
You know, we set the rules,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's like it's our thing. So like we want to invite someone on the show. It's like, all right, you got to abide by what we say.
Right.
And that
right.
It's like when they ask us to do something like that, regardless of their prior relationship with us, it's like I kind of take it as like you don't respect me at all. I just don't get that,
but on the other hand, I don't want a guest to feel uncomfortable.
And I can appreciate that too, but at the same time, it's like that stuff should be figured out before we even do it.
I know. But what happens in conversations is like you start to lose like inhibitions, and like it happens on Howard Stern all the time. Like there's a lot of guests on Howard Stern over the years that didn't want to talk about who they're fucking, and Howard Stern won't get it out of them. You know what I mean? And then afterwards, it gets a note to all the newspapers, and they're like, oh fuck, you know. But they feel so comfortable with Howard after a while,
yeah.
And So, hey, listen, it is what it is. This show's called As Is. And, you know, I think there's for everything in life, there's a price to pay. You know, like not everything is smooth sailing in life. This is
No, that's definitely not smooth sailing. Otherwise, we'd be getting laid all the time.
This apparently is going to be another weekend where we haven't gotten laid. I mean, we had opportunities on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Well, not opportunities. But,
right.
I mean.
There's the opportunity for opportunity.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the name of this podcast.
That's great.
See, once in a while you come up with some gold.
Oh.
An opportunity for an opportunity, which has nothing to do with this episode. But it just sounds good.
Oh, shit.
Oh, who's texting me now? We should do a whole podcast about who... Oh, nobody. This is just a random... Yeah, no, she's asking me if the play is in New Jersey. I should say no, it's in Kentucky.
Right.
But anyway, an opportunity for... Let's try to do something with that word.
Okay, an opportunity for opportunity, so it's like, okay.
Life is an opportunity for an opportunity.
Absolutely.
You know?
There's always... That's the thing, is there's always the opportunity. All you got to do... See, when I was going to college, I was at Rutgers. You know, there was one day, I think it was like in 2015.
Okay.
There was one day, you know, I was off for the day. I didn't have to go to class or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was home, but I felt the need, I felt like this desire to leave home and just actually drive to campus. I don't recall actually having a class that day.
Okay.
So I just went there. I worked. I hung out in the one hallway.
Right.
And there was like a janitor walking by. You know, I guess he saw me like reading something. And I forgot what he said. He He started talking to me. He's like, "You're going to go somewhere. I can tell."
Wow, the janitor.
He's like, "I can tell you're a dedicated individual."
He was a man, right?
He was a man, yeah.
Because you usually don't see a woman janitor.
Right. Even if she did, like, well, if it, yeah, you don't say that too often.
Yeah. And, so, but I wonder what do you think made him say
that? I guess
that?
It was just the way I was, like, sitting there by myself. Maybe like, my head was in my textbook or whatever.
Maybe
or
was writing gay something. And wanted to.
It's possible, but I think at the same time, it's like.
Well, you are going places. You're going to put the book back on the library shelf.
Well, right. But I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it was a nice interaction. I talked to him for a little bit.
Yeah.
And. It was that day when I realized. It was that day when I actually realized. You know, life happens when you leave the house.
Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans.
I don't think I was really busy making other plans that day. I just happened to leave the house.
Well, you were busy making other plans because you're reading a book, and then the janitor talked to you, and then your day, you remember that incident for some reason. I mean, God knows why we remember these things.
So it's like it's one of those things where like life provided an opportunity for me to like. Learn something.
Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. What did you learn?
Life happens when you leave the house.
Oh, life happens when you leave the house. I think Plato said that and Aristotle said that. I mean, I think life happens. I mean, life can happen inside the house, too.
It can.
Like, I've had sex mostly inside houses.
Right.
I know. I'm trying to think. Did you ever have sex outdoors?
I did.
Ah. I think I did, too, but it didn't work out so well.
I think it started raining when I did, so we stopped.
Do you ever have sex in a car?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Inside a car wash stall, actually.
Whoa.
One of those, like, self-serve stalls.
Oh.
It was at, like, 9 o'clock at night.
So you went inside the thing that washes the cars?
Nah, they're like, the stalls outside where you could, like, clean stuff out yourself, like the big vacuum cleaners.
Wow.
The vacuum cleaner was not involved in the sex act, mind you. It was just we actually had sex in your car.
Let's not get crazy.
Right.
But you, when you had sex outdoors, was it on grass?
It was out in the grass, yeah.
Huh.
Actually, I once had sex in the back of my Mustang behind a bar with a lesbian.
Wow, that sounds very manly.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have sex, in a tent?
Not a tent.
I once almost had sex in a tent. It was so erotic that I feel like I actually did have sex with this woman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
of course.
We're at the end of the episode.
Of course.
I was just going to say it's great sex story.
We still have a couple minutes.
I had a choice between two beautiful women. I went on a hiking trip with my lifeless with my brother. And and there was a pretty beautiful brunette. So, and the brunette was into me. We're like making out. We're like, we're about to like have sex. Like we're, you know, but then I'm thinking, I think I could get the blonde. Like, you know, I was getting greedy. So then the brunette like says to me, so the first night I'm with the brunette, we're not having sex, but we're like totally all over each other. And I'm thinking the next night I am totally hooking up with the brunette. But then the next day I'm like, I think I can get the blonde. So the brunette tells me, like, let's go into the ranger. There was a ranger's house or something by the thing. She goes, let's go there and spend the night and, like, have sex in a real bed. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I think I got out of that. And then, of course, nothing happened with the blonde.
So, and that's what you deserved. I hate to say that's what you deserved.
Well, that's harsh.
It is harsh, but I think at the same time, like, if it happened to me, I'd be like, I deserved that. I gave up a good thing. I gave up a sure thing.
Right.
For a not so short thing,
right?
So.
No, you're right. You're absolutely. You know what? You're right. You're right. I have to live with this for the rest of my life.
You do.
You know.
But sorry, I think.
I don't know what we can learn from this.
It's not. I mean, at the same time, it would have just been like another sexual experience that you would think about from time to time, and
right. But I do think about that brunette a lot because it was sometimes it's the almost having sex that stays with you.
Like you think maybe like you could have gone off to like marry this woman. She could have been like your future missus.
I just, you know how the making out part was so hot, and I think it was because also there was a tent and there was rain outside, and
was,
you know, and she was like a Grateful Dead chick, and she,
oh, was she really?
Yeah, there were, it was a weird like thing, and also she didn't go for my brother; she went for me, you know, which that made it even hotter, you know what I mean? Anyway, I'd hate to close on this story.
That was a good story. That's a good story to close on, though.
I guess so. So opportunity within an what is it?
An opportunity within.
Opportunity.
An opportunity for an opportunity.
So I think we might do another episode. We might not.
I guess we'll see which way the wind blows.
Yeah, I mean, it's only... Oh, it's 7 o'clock at night already.
Holy shit.
All right, well, any last words?
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right, well, listen. Thank you for all the work you did today.
Yeah,
and audience, I'm sorry that you have to listen to all this crap.
Bye.